blowing smoke. In the room I trapped myself in so long ago, where the blinds remain forever closed. Will it change? I hope so, 'cause I have spent the past 4 years trying to find some peace of mind, and I think I might have found it this time.
3, 2, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Interviews with Everyday People, episode 86. We are climbing closer to that 100 mark, the quest for 100. We're here today with Steve Coleman. We're going to dive into everything that Steve's got going on. A jack of trades all here. He's got a lot of stuff going on. First off, let's compliment that Four Horsemen t-shirt. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Gotta say, women represent.
Yeah, we are going to dive into a lot of different topics here today. But before we get into that, make sure you check the links below. You can check out all the guest links are always the top links to check out. So you can follow him on Instagram or go over and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Help him out. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there. His podcast. He's got his music videos, and he also has a cool little hot sauce thing going on. So if you like to watch people torture themselves with hot foods, that's definitely a place to go do it. Also, we have our links below. We are doing a new thing right now where we're on the quest of 100 or 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you could help us out with that, that'd be fantastic. Also, we have the merch page below. So if you buy any merch, please make sure you send us a photo with you in that merch, because we are going to work on, for the 2-year anniversary of the show, which is coming up in a couple months, we're going to do a collage of everyone who's bought merch for any of the shows and use that for our intro videos. So it's going to be a huge thank you to you guys for helping this channel grow and become what it is right now. If you are watching this now, hit that like, share, subscribe. Make sure you hit the share button, especially on Facebook. The more people see this, the more people find out about it. I am looking to book guests currently for September through December. So if you have any interest of doing the show, or anyone that you know will want to do the show, hit me up as well and we'll get that figured out. All right, business is taken care of. What's going on, man?
Chilling, man. Feeling pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I have a lot of acid reflux. I had too many beers and pizzas last night for SummerSlam, so I feel like a fire-breathing dragon. So that's always fun.
I'll tell you, man, last night I was talking to you a little bit off air about it, but we did a hot sauce gauntlet, me and a couple of my friends, last night. So we went through 12 different sauces, including two that are our own homemade that we're going to be selling coming up here.
Oh, wow.
But The big one that we did last night was the bomb, which people know from Hot Ones. And my one buddy, Tim, he just loaded it up, not knowing what he was getting himself into. Dude almost pooped himself on air.
You can curse. You can curse if you want. You're allowed to curse on air. Yeah.
Himself on air. Dude just this huge fart, almost shits himself. And at the end of the day, the fucking audio didn't record, so we lost the entire thing.
Oh, you know, I've been there. I've been there. That has happened before on this show many a times. I've done things where I recorded through the microphone on the laptop and not the microphones in front of our faces. So, I mean, growing pains of podcast, man. I've been there. I've done a hot sauce challenge. We did an episode with Hotheads Hot Sauce. They're out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So if you're looking to do some hot sauce collabs, definitely hit that guy up. But yeah, it was not fun. I mean, his hot sauces taste amazing, but I'm not good with hot food at all.
It's something that I've always been into. Like, since I was a kid, I've been a hot sauce person. And it's just been, like, growing my collection over the years. I have, like, 70 or 80 different bottles.
Holy
that
shit.
I was finally at the point where, dude, I should just record this. Because all my friends want to try my sauces anyway.
Yeah.
Fucking record it, put it out there, and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, my buddy's band does a hot sauce thing. For every album they come out with, they put a hot sauce out with the album. Yeah.
Nice.
They're called Crobot. So
okay.
If you ever check them out, I think for a while there they had the hot sauces on sale online, but I think they sold really, really quick. But I have 4 bottles. I just didn't open them. How does hot sauce work? If you don't open them, they'll stay fine. But if you open them, then you have to keep them refrigerated, or...
It really depends on what's inside of the sauce. So, like, if it's a really fruit-based sauce, like heavy vegetable sauce, you're going to want to refrigerate it afterwards. But, like, your basic Frank's, Crystal, anything like that, you're good to keep it out for usually up to a year, maybe two, depending.
Yeah, I should probably start trying these sauces then before they go bad. Maybe we'll do that on a future episode. We'll do the Crobot hot sauces.
There you go. We We got two coming out September 18th and 19th. It's going to be at VHS Fest up at the Mahoning Drive-In. Ooh. In I'm trying to think of the exact area. It's like the Allentown area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do that. They're a good time, man. They do a lot of really fun stuff.
It's real tight. They're going to have all VHS movies that weekend. So it's like Chopping Mall, Redneck Zombies, those old school horror movies. And so the 18th and 19th, we're going to be selling one's a blueberry ghost sauce and the other one is a lemon zest habanero sauce. And they're so good, man.
We had I've had Charles Moran on the show. I'm not sure if you know Charles from the movie. He's been on the show and he does a lot of the art for the Mahoning Drive-In. So when they do like special like nights up there, I think he's working on a Texas Chainsaw Massacre one right now. But he's a fantastic. He's a fantastic artist, and they just came out with Scene 2 where they're selling lights that look like VHS test tapes. Wow. Up at Mahoning. It's like a light for your car, and it looks like a VHS tape. It's pretty neat. But yeah, so if anyone's in the comments too, if you're on Facebook, for some reason Facebook comments are not coming through on my end, so I can't see them. So if someone can type in there that we can't see those comments, so it's not like we're ignoring you guys, just so if you can kind of put that out in the universe for me, whoever's watching, to help us out a little bit so people don't think I'm ignoring them. But so what else you got going on, man? So you do the hot sauce, the podcast. How did that start about?
So the podcast was me and my buddy Brain Cell. Together, we are a rap group. We're called Critical Mass, aka C-Mass. And the one thing that we noticed when we were starting to do bigger shows, like opening for Cottonmouth Kings, opening for Insane Clown Posse, Twisted, stuff like that, was that we were meeting some really, really cool people. But these were people who weren't getting any exposure. And we were like, there's got to be a way that we can really kind of showcase them since we have a platform now. And that's when we came up with the idea of C-Mass Radio. Originally, it was Revival Radio. We got together with all these different artists that we're meeting on the road, you know, our friends that have, like, you know, streetwear collabs or tattoo artists, things like that, where we can really focus on the underground, talk about conspiracy theories, talk about skateboarding, talk about wrestling, stuff like that, mm-hmm. and just kind of give people a platform that didn't have one before.
That's awesome, man. I honestly, if I can go back and maybe change something, I would have done that, where I just put it all in one episode, one channel. But
yeah.
I decided I was going to separate everything and do it all like that, and now I have 14 podcasts, and it's a nightmare. Well, not really a nightmare, but it's a lot. It's a lot of work. But yeah, so you're Cottonmouth Kings and Insane Clown Posse. So would you define yourself as a juggalo?
That's a tough question there. I'm definitely a juggalo. Like, deep down, like, I grew up listening to that kind of music. I'm a punk rock kid at heart, mm-hmm. but I loved ICP when I was in high school. I thought it was awesome. But the one thing that I always say, I don't know if you know Robbie Radke from Outbreak Wrestling.
Absolutely, yeah.
One thing that me and Robbie had talked about when I was on his podcast was that I like everything about juggalos except for juggalos themselves.
that makes sense.
I love the culture. I love the idea behind it. I love the shows themselves, but like some juggalos are just so stupid and so ignorant, and I just can't associate myself with that.
I think that comes with any fan base though. Like, I love pro wrestling, but some pro wrestling fans, I'm like, can you just go away? You are the worst for the person for this community. So I definitely can relate.
It's definitely a fun environment though. Like, I recommend everybody go to an ICP show. Even if you don't like their music, you'll have fun with just getting sprayed with the Faygo, the energy, everything that goes along with it. So getting to play with those guys was like a dream come true for me. And then getting to, you know, meet the juggalos afterwards that I didn't know, and like get to talk to them and really like get to pick their brain a bit to see what the modern juggalo is about, because it's so different from when I was in high school. It's pretty tight.
Yeah, I listened to ICP when I was like in middle school, when I like
yeah.
when fart and butt jokes were funny, and then I got and then I got older and I was like, I'm not really into that anymore. But I like, but now like I mean, obviously they become like a joke, I guess. I think what ruined ICP for me is when them and Eminem battled, and I drew the line in the sand. You know, I was like, sorry, guys, I can't mess with the guys painting their faces. I'm going with him.
I think that it's definitely something that it became a meme with the whole magnets, how do they work, and yeah. all of that. But when you look at them now, they've definitely come full circle and are like really hardcore social justice,
yeah,
really hardcore Black Lives Matter, stuff like that, which I can totally get down with. So if they're going to put out a good message like that and it's going to get some people on the right side of the cause, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my one friend, he put a, because I have a lot of musician friends as well, and someone made a post where it's like ICP is helping the Save the Children cause, and then someone just, and his comment was, did I just become an ICP fan? yeah, it's awesome, man. It's definitely something to look at. It's like, wow, you thought these guys were just idiots the whole time, but they actually, I mean, they're having fun with their music. So who are we to decide what's music and what's not music? Everyone has their message. Everyone has their style. I mean, I know they were intertwined with pro wrestling for a while there. They were in WCW and backyard wrestling. So, I remember hearing a show one time where they showed up at like an independent show. And they weren't even supposed to be booked. They just kind of showed up and were like, hey, we're here. Can we like be on the show? And I guess the independent company was like, yeah. Like, I guess they were driving through and I guess they were doing a show somewhere. If I want to say it was Pennsylvania. And
that's really cool.
I guess they seen a flyer at a grocery store or something. And they're like, yo, that's tonight. And our show's not till tomorrow. But they're like in town. So they stopped over and went to an independent show.
I actually found them through WWF. They were on SummerSlam. It was either 98 or 99 when they were with the Oddities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Oddities.
And they sang the theme song to the ring, and that's why I was like, yo, who the hell are these guys? Mm-hmm. I was only like 9, 10 years old, but after that, I was like, yo, I got to find out what these guys are about.
my introduction was the Great Malenko album. That was my album for when I was a kid. I was like, oh, man, this is the coolest thing ever. And we were drawing the clown in school. We thought we were the coolest things ever. But, yeah, so how long have you been podcasting now?
I guess that we've been doing this maybe, like, since 2016. So coming
Holy
up
shit.
On 4 years now. I think we only have, like, official episodes is maybe only, like, 60-something. But we have so much of everything else that if you combined it, like, it's hundreds.
That's awesome.
Of things. It's crazy, man. The channel strike killed us. That really, like, had a hit on everything.
What did you get hit with?
So, the one thing that I said was that we do conspiracy theories. So, even if we don't agree with them, we will talk about them and talk about how they're bullshit, what we agree with, what we don't agree with. And we were talking about the Parkland shooting. And we had said that, you know, there was a lot of posts going around where people were saying that this was fake, that it was crisis actors, stuff like that. We were saying how we don't agree with that. Like, people died. This happened. Like, you got to stop with this bullshit.
Yeah.
But because we even mentioned crisis actors and stuff like that, the YouTube algorithm hit us.
Oh,
and
man.
It was right away one channel strike, and we were like, we got to figure something out here. So we made the second channel so we could do our more controversial topics on that. If we got a channel strike on there, it's whatever. Then we don't lose our music and all of that. But at that point, it was like, we're not really going to do full episodes anymore unless there's something really important or really dope guest we want to feature.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we can kind of fall into a trap with. I know we just started our show called Truth Behind Illusion, which is going to dive into stuff like that as well, where it may be conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I know the stream went out for a second, but if you guys are listening, the streams have those options, though. Those things will happen where we cut out here for a second or two, but that's why you always want to listen to the audio only on all major podcast platforms, which the links are below, because sometimes streams get a little nutty with the COVID. Everybody and their brother is on the internet and sister, don't want to leave them out, and that'll happen. But anyway, yeah, so yeah, the copyright strikes, man, that could be a thing. You know, we're gonna dive into some conspiracy theories and ghost stories and stuff, and I mean, anything like that could happen. I remember we did an episode once where we did cults.
Okay.
And this was on our show, Not Cool in High School. And we were like, I guess in our research, we found that, like, you have to be careful what you say about what's fucking Scientology. I was gonna say the Tom Cruise one, because Scientology. Like, I remember there was we found a story where they attacked a podcast that literally had like 13 listeners, all because they had an opinion on their and they sued them. Like, sued them for a lot of money. Like, they were just Joe Nobodies, and they sued them because they had an outside opinion on Scientology. And I was like, I was like, dude, sue me, because that would be great publicity that, like, Scientology sued us. Go listen to our episode.
It's nuts, man. Like, you hear stories all the time about them. Like, they'll stalk you. They will post up outside of your work. They'll go to your boss and say, like, you're spreading hate views about different religions. They'll pass out pamphlets. They'll do anything to fuck you over.
That would be amazing. That would be so awesome. I hope that is a thing. Like, I hope that becomes a thing. That would be unbelievable. I need that. Like, I need, because here's the thing. I'm not, maybe I can be controversial, but I feel like I have like a pretty level-headed viewpoint on things in life, you know? So it's like, if someone comes out and says like, he's a piece of shit, but if you go listen to all my content, you're like, nah, not really. He's a pretty good guy, you know? So if someone were to like try to do that, I think it would be just nothing but beneficial to me, because I think the reason why a lot of podcasts like myself don't do successful is because I don't dwell in negativity or hate or that kind of stuff. So it's like people aren't into that, I guess. They rather go watch people fight or argue.
I don't get it, man. That's just not my vibe. Like, I can't get down with that. Like, they can definitely pull sound clips from anything to make it seem like you're an asshole or you're a piece of shit for all this stuff. But when you look at the whole product, like you were saying, I'm the same way, man. There's definitely some things I've said out of context. People would be like, wow, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But with the whole thing, you see the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, and sometimes, like, I think people, too, is like, if we have a view outside of somebody else's view, it's automatically like you're an enemy, or you're a bad guy, or you're a bad person. But like, I always try to say, like, listen, I'm very open minded. So I may have a view on something, but I'm not super hard on my convictions on that view. I'm just kind of taking in the information, what I'm seeing, especially when it comes to media, because we're kind of being deceived depending on what news channel you're watching. And then then social media, obviously everyone's like, don't get your news from Facebook, but that's where mostly people get their news, let's be honest. So I always say, that's not the hill I'm gonna die on. But this is how I feel currently right now, just based off pure emotion. But if we have an honest conversation, I may meet you in the middle, or I may change my views. Like, and I think that's healthy to do as well. Like, I'm like, you know what? I didn't think of it that way. I'd never seen it from that side of the coin, you know? And I think more people need to look inward, you know, and not just what, like, because I think it is becoming a thing, too, where it's like, what can we be upset by today, you know?
Oh, 100%. And the other thing, too, is a lot of people put themselves in an echo chamber. You know, my fiance talks to me a lot about how I get super mad when people engage with me on Facebook, like negatively about like a political view or something like that I hold. And she's like, why don't you just block them? It's that simple. You just hit block. Yeah. But for me, I do that. Like, if I block everybody who disagrees with me, at the end of the day, it's just going to be me.
Yeah.
You need to have those conversations. If it gets to the point where it's completely unhealthy and like, you can't live your life because you're so obsessed with it, yeah, maybe get that person out of your life.
Yeah.
But you need to have those conversations.
Yeah, I normally don't do it, man, but I put a post, and I'm the whole time I'm posting, I'm like, man, I really want to have a conversation. This is good. But I always get fearful that when people read the conversation, they're going to think I'm coming off as sarcastic, or I'm dismissive, or I'm not agreeing with them, or I don't like them. Because anything you type on the internet can be misconstrued to any emotion. It's all comes down to how the person reads it. So I'm like, yo, I just really want people to realize I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not being a scumbag here. Like, I'm open to the conversation. I just, like, so I always say, like, I'm done with that. Like, I'm not posting that kind of stuff, and it's not because out of fear, it's because I have this platform. So if people really are passionate about that topic and they didn't like my view on it, dude, let's go on here and talk, because I feel like if we have a visual conversation or audio conversation, we realize that it's not just people screaming at each other on the internet.
Exactly, because that's all it is at the end of the day right now. When you're just going through your Facebook feed, it's just you're not changing anybody's views with what you're typing. It's these conversations.
Yeah. No one ever went on a Facebook post, seen a meme, or seen John posts something and then everyone's like, you know what, John's right. You know what I mean? No, it's a bunch of people who agree with John, and then it's a whole bunch of people who disagree with John, and then we just create another battlefield on the social media platform. And then people turn around and say, social media is stupid, I hate it, it's the worst thing ever. And I'm like, it all depends how you use it. With anything else in life, it all depends how you use it. If you consume it the wrong way or you consume too much, it can be a problem. If you use if you use it the proper way, it'll be great.
It's the ego trap. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. People get so wrapped up in these online personalities because, you know, what you have on your Instagram, your Facebook, whatever, that's a whole different
Your phone disappeared. That was funny. you held your phone up and it didn't exist. You're like holding up nothing.
But like, that's a whole different Anthony. That's a whole different Steve. There's Facebook Steve. There's Instagram Steve. There's interviews with everyday people Steve. All that's going to be different. So you have that ego trap where you're getting wrapped up in what you're posting on Facebook. Like, that's your true identity, when it's not.
Yeah.
You're getting so hurt because people are disagreeing with the views of Facebook Steve that you think they're coming at you personally when they're not. It's just the meme you posted provoked a reaction with their ego that gets that same response.
Yeah. I think a big chunk of that too is like where how you were saying the ego thing, people don't want to be wrong. And then also people like, I don't know, they as humans, we just dwell on negativity. Even if you're not, and the people who say they don't dwell on negativity are the ones who dwell on it the most. It's like, man, it's just such an ugly thing to get involved with. It's scary. It really is. I try to stay super consistent, and I try to make my platforms and my group pages to be more positive or uplifting people or helping people put their craft out. So I try to do that as best I can. Like, I try to make social media a better place. I hope more people, and then people who, you know, buy into that or look into it or join the family or the groups, that they seem to agree with it. It's just tough, man. It's hard. It's really hard.
It's real hard. And I think that it's something that is just going to be ingrained in us now. Like, this is the way it's always going to be. We are not going to be able to go back to those old days of face-to-face debates because people are so divided now.
Yeah,
and I really hope that can change.
I have faith. I'm a Batman fan. I can look at the biggest adversity and say, I think there could be change here, you know? So I don't think it's something we can never go back to. I just think you need someone to carry the torch. And honestly, man, like, my podcast, if it goes viral all over the world, then awesome. But more or less, man, I'm just looking at my own backyard. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who complain about things and they want changes done, but they don't do anything about it. And this is kind of my way of trying to make a change here, whether it be good or bad. I know people may agree, people may disagree, but I'm just trying to develop healthy conversations with one another. Because I think what people see when like, I have conversations all the time. So these conversations we're having right now or that people have on Facebook, I have in person, you know, and I have them a lot with family and friends. And it's, I think the majority of thing, what I've really found out is, there's the extreme right and the extreme left, right? And then everyone kind of consumes everything from those two platforms because, once again, they're the most extremes, and that's what the media likes to put, and that's what everyone wants to see. So if the extreme right wants people to think the extreme left are bad, they'll find the worst extreme left case, put that on the social media, and then that doesn't represent everybody. So then we generalize everybody, whether it be for any reason. It just becomes that general stereotype or the generalization of people. And then it turns into, well, I don't like the far right because every single person in the far right is that person. I'm like, they're really not. Like, so no. If you literally go outside your bubble and you're willing to talk to someone who you think may have this the most extreme, and you boil us all down, we all want the same thing. We all want people to be happy. We want to live our lives. We want, you know, freedoms. We want this. We want that. And it's just like, there's the majority of the people are in the middle, right? And they're willing to flex. Right. But like how you're saying, when people are on social media, they put that persona on, they put that character on, they put that wrestling, like, dude, comic books and wrestling have saved my life. And you know how some people read the Bible and they're like, oh my God, this makes me a better person. I watch wrestling and I'm like, oh, that person's a heel. Like, that person's playing a heel. Like, there's no way that person is that person in real life. Or I read a comic book and it's like the world is dog shit, but then someone stands up above it all and makes it a better place. And then he inspires the masses. It's like, that's Jesus. Batman's Jesus to me. Like, that's the closest thing. Like, I don't know.
I was gonna say, I definitely noticed that. Like, I'm a poli sci major, so like my big goal is I'm trying to get into politics. Like, I want to be a state senator one day. Like, that is my ultimate goal.
That'd be cool.
But the one thing I've noticed from like all of the classes I've taken, all the debates that I've done, is that my wrestling has made me so good at it because I can cut a promo.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. It's cutting a good fucking promo. And it's like, today, you're going to take the position that's the Republican side. Tomorrow, you're taking the Democrat side. It's like, okay, today I'm a heel. Tomorrow, I'm a face. Let's go. Come on.
Dude, that's honestly, that's why I think Trump won, is because he cut a promo. He went out. He went out. Like, all the other, like, Biden just did his speech. And from a presidential speech, like, someone who's going to be a candidate for the president, Biden killed it in that. Like, I'm not a big politician, and I don't really follow the right or the left. But I feel like as someone who, you know, who does live in a country, I should probably look into it a little bit. But I don't pick a side. But I think Biden's speech was good. I didn't see a guy that was senile, that was losing his mind, that couldn't do a coherent sentence. I thought he spoke really well. Like, I thought he did a great job. But that what he's going against in Trump is exactly why Trump got elected. He went out there and he came out like Stone Cold. The glass shatters. Trump walks out. He chugs three beers. He throws them in the air. He whips the crowd off. He does a DX crotch chop. And everyone's like, I like this. You know what I mean? Like
100% that, man. Politics is wrestling. That's all it is.
Yeah. Everything is pro wrestling. We always tell our friends, like my one friend, he's super into theater. Like he likes art. He likes like all that stuff. And I'm like, you come to a wrestling show. He's like, I'm not going there. I'm like, dude, it's theater. It's action theater. That's literally what it is. And he went to it. And I'm like, go to it as if you're watching production of a theater. And I said, except it's a live stunt show. And he went and he's like, bro, it was awesome. I had the best time ever.
That's the key, man. You got to just go in with that mindset. I try to tell people that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, yeah, wrestling's fake. Yeah, well, so is the show you watched last night, but you still enjoyed that. Yeah. So
you're a big fan of The Godfather? Guess what? They're all actors. That wasn't a real horse head. Yeah. So how, you know, you said you also pro wrestle, too. That'll be our segue there. See how that worked out. How long have you been pro wrestling, and how'd you get into it?
So I started back in 2006, actually. So I was 16 years old when I started training.
Holy shit.
I trained at ACPW out of Philadelphia. Onslaught and Gemini were my trainers there. It was actually crazy. They had come to my high school and were doing tryouts. They were trying to get people who were on the football team, the wrestling team, stuff like that, to come down to their school, do a tryout, and then see how it goes from there. So I think probably like five or six dudes showed up. I was on the wrestling team, the lacrosse team, all that at the time, football team. So out of the six dudes who tried out, I was the only one who made the cut. And I just started right then and there, you know. I wasn't able to actually be in the ring until I was 18 for shows and stuff. But I could work my ass off in the school every day. I could manage. I could do color commentating on the TV show. Just anything to get my name out there and kind of like follow along. And then once I was 18, it was off to the races.
So what they did is, for people who aren't wrestling fans, they went to a local high school and they got a bunch of 16-year-old kids, and they're like, this guy's big, he's strong,
yep,
he'll be amazing to set up and break down rings.
That is exactly what it is.
And we can get maybe $50 a month out of them and say we're training them.
Damn, what school were you going to? Exactly what it is, because too many people don't do that. Yeah. You go to a fucking show, man, and half of the vets are going to be breaking down the ring. It's going to be people like me, all the greenies, who are doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love to help out, but like with my joint disorder, I would not be able to walk the next day. But like, I'll help clean up trash and shit. Like, I'll do that kind of stuff. But yeah, but then again, I'm not in the ring working, so I feel like if I'm there as a podcast, don't ask me to tell your ropes. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, I have no idea. But yeah, it's awesome, man. Like, I fell in love with pro wrestling. Now, when you went at 16, were you previously watching wrestling into this? So when someone that came to you like, hey, we're pro wrestling, so it was just already a passion for you?
No, it was my whole life. Like, since I was little, I remember the first show that I ever saw was SummerSlam, I want to say 92. So it was Brett versus Davey Boy was the main event.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in preschool going to the Spectrum and seeing The Undertaker versus Bret Hart. So it's been since I was little.
I'm sensing a Bret Hart fan over here.
That's Shawn Michaels. There you go.
I love it. That's my favorite of all time.
But yeah, so it was just always in me. And then when they came to the school and were like, hey, we're looking for people, it was just a natural fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I did you see the meme where it says Shawn Michaels now looks like the old man, the old salt man from Home Alone? I was like, I fucking hate this. I can't stand it. Like, I was like, my wife, I've never met Shawn. I've never seen Shawn. I never met him, but I have his autograph because my wife went to a horror con in New Jersey and he was there. And she came back and she's like, why do they call him the sexy boy? His eyes are crossed. His hair's falling out. I was like, can you shut up? Like, I want a divorce. Like, don't ever you speak about my sexy boy like that ever again. First off, don't ever do that. Like, I understand he looks a little rough, but if you go back and look at him in his prime, that was the sexiest man alive. And then she looked at him and was like, no, he wasn't. I was like, get away from me. Get away from me right now. I don't want to hear anything from you. But yeah, it's I was always a big Shawn guy. Yeah. So when you know, you're doing all your training, you're doing everything there. When did you get your first match? Right when you were 18?
No, I actually had my first match when I was 17. It was in New Jersey. They were able to get around the laws by putting me under a hood. Nice. So I wore a mask for my first show. And I did a couple shows like that just so I could really get the feel of working in front of a live crowd. And then my first actual match as Rich Steve was when I was 18.
Nice. Have you got to work with any names now for wrestling? We may throw some wrestling terms out here. Now, I know this is not Tornado Tag Podcast, so we'll try to help you along the way if you don't know what we mean that. So when we say names, like when someone, a lot of times like a older guy who, you know, is a vet or he's been in major promotions, then he comes to an independent scene to kind of help sell some tickets or work or help the younger guys. That's what we mean by that. So like a guy like who's a popular one for a while, they're like the Blue Meanie will show up, or like, you know what I mean? So did you ever get a chance to work with any big names?
Yeah. I got to work with Just Incredible before, which was pretty cool.
That's a good one.
One show that I was on, I didn't get to work with him, but we were on the same show, was Billy Gunn. That was pretty fun.
I just met Billy Gunn a couple months ago. He is a huge human being.
He really is.
He's so huge.
I got to work with Bull James, who was in NXT for a little bit. He was a pretty cool guy. The Rockin' Rebel, I worked him before a few times. New Jack, I've been in there with him before.
That's terrifying.
So that one was one where, honestly, like, I got there. I was managing that night. I just stayed as far away as possible.
Because he'll stab you if you're
like... Hello, sir. Nice to meet you. Shake the hand. I go to my corner. And that was that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're into like stuff like the Tiger King, right? So like the Tiger King was huge. Just go watch Dark Side of the Ring, because some of those stories where you think the Tiger King is screwed up, go watch some of those Dark Sides of the Ring. You're like, wait, this happens in the wrestling world? You're like, oh yeah. Like this guy we just talked about, New Jack, like he tried to murder people in the ring, like legit, like pulled a knife out and stabbed people in the ring. Like he's a psychopath. The
bounty hunter. He has multiple justifiable homicides on his record.
Yeah. What was the whole case where the guy was working him too hard, so he just, like, pulled his shank out and started stabbing the guy? Like,
so that was the mass transit incident.
No, not the mass transit one. This is years after mass transit.
Where'd he go? Down in Florida?
I think so. This is years. This is, like, more recently where he shanked the dude.
Okay. I do know what you're talking about. I forget the name. I was thinking you were meaning Florida Joe, who was like the 80-year-old man that New Jack also stabbed in the ring.
Yeah.
But
crazy, man.
So who else? I actually grew up with the Sandman's son, Tyler. He's a really good friend of mine.
Well, you're down from the Philly area, so that's like the whole ECW lineup down there.
Yeah, so I mean, I've done autograph signings where I've been at the same table with Nunzio before. And I got to travel with Nikolai Volkov a few times. Rest in peace. He was one of the nicest dudes ever. So yeah. I've been around a bit.
Now, were you involved with like the CCWs down there or the Chikaras down in Philly at all?
No, I was never involved with Chikara. I had some conversations with Quackenbush about going there, but I didn't do it. I have been to Monster Factory. I've been on Monster Factory shows before. Which is New Jersey. A lot of people, if you don't know, they're like one of the big schools on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So Danny Cage is the person who runs that school. But a lot of people, like the Samoans, and I can't even remember who else, but a lot of people have come through that training school.
Yep.
PWU, Pro Wrestling Unplugged, was another Philly promotion back in the day that was like warring with CZW at the time. I've done work with them. But other than that, my main base was ACPW for Philly, and I didn't really branch out from there.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Do you ever get a chance to hold a title? Do you get any accomplishments in that aspect?
Yep. You're looking at your nobody else's but for you, baby. Two-time tag team champion. Number one would be with Impact Society at SSW with my cousin Adam Armstrong. And then number two, I am the first and only solo tag team champion at Rampage Pro Wrestling, where I held that belt by myself for a good 6 or 7 months.
That's awesome. You were like Strowman before Strowman, you know?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And then on top of that, I've also won a couple of awards for Rampage. We two-time match of the year and two-time feud of the year as well for 2018 and 2019.
Nice. Now, I know, like, so this is something that always fascinates me, but every single person I talk to is super humble, and it's hard to get this answer out of people. But like, when a company comes to you and says, like, "Hey, like, we're gonna put a strap on you, we're gonna put a title on you," like, what goes through your head at that point? I know a lot of guys, they always try to keep cool. They don't want to mark out, you know, or they don't want to, you know. But if it was me, like, I'd probably get emotional, man. I'd be like, you want me to be your champion? Like, I don't know. Like, if that's me personally, like, you grow up as a kid and your whole time you hold toy belts, or you see a title, or you see this, or you, whatever the term you want to use, belt or title, I don't care. Say what you want. Who cares what Vince tells you what to do? But anyway, but like, I don't know, if a promotion comes up to you that night and, you know, you're not getting paid much, you're going out there, you're risking your body, you're working a full-time job, you're doing something you love, and then you're also doing it with a bunch of guys who, you know, they're doing the same thing you're doing, and then they come up to you and say, "Man, we're going to put a title on you tonight." What's that initial feeling like?
So it was very different with the two straps. The first one, the SSW one, that one was a complete surprise for me. I didn't know that was going to happen. I knew that they had been talking about it, and that they were saying, like, you know, we really want to push Impact. So then that night when they came to me and said, "Hey, tonight's the night, we're going to do it, blah, 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 blah," I was a little taken back at first. Didn't really know what to say, didn't really know what to do. But it hit me afterwards. Up until the moment when the ref's hand hit the mat for the third time, it was just straight, like, normal getting ready for a match. This is just any other day. But then once that third, 1, 2, 3, now it's real. Now it's over, and now it was just that rush where it was like, holy shit. And
did,
like,
you make
when
the
I
fall?
Got into the back, I did not. Or no, I did. I took the fall for the first one. It was a splash off the top. When I got to the back, I cried.
Yeah,
I did.
I would not hold that against you at all, because I probably would. I'd get emotional if you work your ass off for a company and they want you to represent them as a champion. That feels good. That has to be a good feeling.
So, like, I cried. But then with Rampage, that one was a lot bigger for me, where SSW was really cool. Like, they're kind of a smaller company, Central PA. Like, they're not going to have too many people in that crowd. It wasn't like people that knew me from months and months. It was like coming in, setting myself up. At Rampage, I'd been there for 2 years already. I had built relationships with the crowd. I had built relationships with everybody involved. So then that night when they told me, "Hey, tonight we're going to pull the trigger with you," even though it was like a money in the bank type situation where I was cashing in, being told, like, "This is the night it's going to happen. This is what you're going to do," I was way more nervous that night.
Yeah.
It wasn't just your standard match for me. It was like, I got to get this right. And on top of that, since I'm going to be doing this solo, I don't have that tag team partner to rely on. That was running through my mind. So when it happened, it was just instant elation. I didn't cry. I was hype. I ran around. I climbed up probably higher on a turnbuckle than I ever have in my life. I just held those two belts up. Completely different feeling. Then you get into the back and everybody's waiting there, the round of applause, the hugs, It was tight, man. It was real tight.
Yeah, I got really fortunate, man. When I started doing this podcast, network, we'll say, because I know this interviews interview people is the one that started it all. But like with Tornado Tag, like going from just being a fan and then just sitting here around a table and talking pro wrestling with your friends, and then a promotion to even like contact you and be like, hey, do you want to come bring your equipment and do this? So like how it really started for us was we would go to the shows just fans, and we would sit in the crowd. And on the way home, I would bring a recorder, and we put little lapel mics on us, and we would drive home, and we would just do a podcast talking about the show, and we would do like a review about it, and we would put guys over, and we'd say what we liked and what we didn't like, but in a respectful way, because I think that matters. You don't go to a promotion and shit on them if you ever want to work with them, but you have to, you can also be honest. Don't blow smoke up people's ass. You gotta find a way to tote that line. And then it got to the point where it's like, yo, like, we love your car ride home episodes. And I was like, cool. And they're like, do you want to come and like shoot content here? And I was like, that'd be amazing. Like outbreak. We only got a chance to do it for three promotions so far, but like just to be given that opportunity to be backstage and seeing what it looks like when people are getting ready for their match or how they're going over their stuff in the room. And like, it's just, I have a high respect for it. Like I truly, truly do. And it's like, I don't take it for granted. And it's something that like, it means a lot to me. Like I'll never step between those ropes and be a professional wrestler, but I can still kind of be somehow part of the show or part of the business in a way, or help like record an interview with somebody. It's a really, really unbelievable feeling. And it's just, if you're a fan of the sport or fan of the entertainment, whatever you want to call it, it's just, there's nothing like you can experience. Like my best bud is Header, you know, and I sit with Header 3 days a week, and we do podcasts all the time, and then you see him transform before his match, and he's headbanging and he's spraying himself with water and he's psyching himself up, and it's just like, yo, I'm proud of you, man. Like I never seen that aspect of you. Like I never seen that switch flip. And then he goes to the ring and does his thing. And like one night he's a good guy, and then one night's a bad guy. And then watching him win a title, I was like, oh my, it wasn't his first title. So like it was like for him, it was like, cool, I'm a champion. But for me, I was like, that's my buddy. He's a champ. Like, you know what I mean? Like
he's fantastic, by the way, man. Yeah. Anybody who's a wrestling fan watching this who doesn't know about Andy Header, like, please go check him out. He kills it,
man. Yeah, and he's been doing it a long time, man. He takes it super serious, and it's just, he's a good dude, man. Really good guy. But if you do watch Not Cool in High School, Andy's on that one all the time with me. He'll be here tonight. We're gonna be recording Truth Beyond Illusion, which will be live 9 o'clock over on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So definitely check that out. And I'm doing back to back duty tonight. And then, yeah, man, it's just a cool thing. Like, I don't know. I took a break from pro wrestling for a while, and I wish I didn't. I fell really hard into the mixed martial arts thing. And yeah. I mean, I still watch it, but I think right now, like, I don't even care if the sports aren't happening, because like there's so much pro wrestling to watch. Like, I'm fully immersed in it again. I feel like a kid again.
I need to take breaks from time to time from wrestling.
Really?
Yeah, because I think part of the whole thing for me is, as being a part of the business, I lose the luster that I have for it.
Yeah.
Where, like, it becomes such a chore some days, where, like, all of the backstage drama and this, that, and the other, where, like, I'll be watching a match and I'll just be critiquing it. I'll be like, yo, there was a botch. Oh, there was a botch. And, like, I can't enjoy it for a while. Mm-hmm. So, like, I need to take breaks. Like, right now, I'm on a wrestling break. I was going to be at the show at Outbreak a couple of weeks ago. Work came up. That was going to be my first time back at any show in like 9 months.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what you mean. Like, just sometimes I need a wrestling break. I get too into it.
Yeah. Well, how he was talking about Outbreak, they're doing some filming, so you can actually check out some new matches. They can't obviously do shows, but you can go on YouTube and check Outbreak Wrestling out, and they've been putting content up every weekly of matches that you can go and watch, which is cool. And you can go check out Andy Header. Currently, storyline wise, Header is working for a title shot, the world title shot. He might be the first 2-time Outbreak world champion, so that'd be cool to see. So definitely keep an eye out on that. But yeah, like I said, I got to do some stuff at Outbreak. That was fun. I got to do some stuff with PPW. I do a lot of stuff with PPW. Like, I help them with their weekly TV show and stuff. Like, I do like small little snips here and there. But like, super welcoming. Like, such cool dudes there. And then I'm gonna butcher this. like I was about to say it, and then CCW got stuck in my head, and I'm gonna GSW.
Okay.
GSW did their show at Evolve's building, or True Wrestling. No, True Mill. They did it at the True Mill building, and it was like a one-off show for them to come back and do something, and it was like that was an insane night because that was like the true talent mixed with the GSW talent, but it was all in one building, and it was like guys who haven't seen each other in like 6, 7 years, 10 years, and they're all getting back together and doing this one-off show, and it was just like it was literally right before COVID hit, and it was just such a awesome experience, like being backstage where people were just like seeing each other for the first time in forever and just like going out and putting these matches on, and it was just such a love fest. It was just such a cool experience, and those guys are amazing. So much talented people in our area. Now I know why the Northeast area of our country is just loaded with professional wrestling, because it's just
serious.
It's so embedded in this area.
It's, and the people are just so legit. Like, that's the thing where a lot of the people say that they're wrestlers, but they just have their gear from Walmart and they, you know, trained in the backyard and then went out and did it. In this area, everybody is so legit.
Yeah.
Everybody's so good. You see, we were talking about Outbreak. They go to the Hamburg Fieldhouse, which
historic.
You know, that was a WWF venue.
Yeah.
You know, you see CZW, the buildings that they run. It's really cool, man. Like, I'm a shitty wrestler. Like, my friends are really good. Like, I'm just here because I can talk.
Yeah.
If you want to see some real good wrestling, though, like, this is the area. Those are companies around.
Yeah, it's awesome, the stuff that's going on. And, like, a lot of these guys you're watching on TV right now, a lot of them wrestled in this back in these parts, mm-hmm. man. Like, probably the biggest dude right now on AEW is Orange Cassidy. And
exactly.
He was a Chikara guy. I mean, not many people know that, but
got Nyla Rose, you got Sun Kiss, both of them. I've been on shows with them. Awesome people, man.
Nyla she's a beast, man. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of hers. Do you ever see the photo her and Heather did where they were like looking like they were about to fight each other, and they took it and added the Mortal Kombat health bar and added fight in between them, and I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. So, she's super cool, man. And she wrestled in this area, and now she was the first second AEW champion. Yes, because the first one was I'm terrible with Japanese names. The real tiny girl.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else is in the area. Another one in this area, man. I don't know if you ever got a chance to work with him, Deshaun Pratt.
No, I never got to.
Oh, he is unbelievable. I just watched. He's just a really cool dude too. But I just watched for the Best of PPW, which you go watch on YouTube and stuff like that, and Facebook as well. He did a match with Drago, which was awesome. Such a good match. It was like his old roots of like Chikara and stuff in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. We I actually went down to Florida. I guess this was 2 years ago. Me and Drew Bronson. I don't know if you remember him.
Yep.
He's an Outbreak guy.
DB Craft.
Yep, exactly. DB Craft. We went down to Florida for, I believe it was, who was it? Was it Evolve? It was Evolve because it was off of an Evolve seminar. They were doing like an NXT type startup thing that they were trying to do. So you had like Kincaid was on there. Sammy Guerva was on there. Like a bunch of those dudes that were just starting to really blow up before they hit TNA and then AEW were all on the show with us. And it was crazy to see, man.
Adam Cole and also Drew Gulak. Bro. I just had a brain fart. Why can I not think of his name? Bro.
Oh,
see, it happens, right?
Exactly. Wow.
Mixed martial arts fighter. Why is this happening right now? My brain just shut off.
Matt Riddle.
Thank you, Matt Riddle. Yeah, Matt. I mean, Adam Cole's from Lancaster. Matt Riddle was from the Lancaster area. He wrestled there for a while. Like Drew Gulak's from Philly. Yeah, man, such cool stuff in this area.
I didn't know Adam Cole was from the Lancaster area. Yeah, that's tight.
He wrestled in Lancaster for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I used to live out in Lancaster, so hey, there's another connection. There we go.
Yeah. So what are some of your future plans when it comes to all your endeavors, your hot sauces, your pro wrestling, your podcasts? What are I mean, I know one of your future things, you're gonna have your boy here on a podcast. We know that.
Oh,
but
of course. Honestly, man, it's just to keep building and keep growing. You know, we just crossed the 1,000 subscriber mark like a month or so ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Which, I mean, it took us a while, but we got there.
Yeah.
So I mean, we just
I've been
got
stuck
past
on like 400 for like a year now. I can't.
Sucks.
Just keep peaking. Just hit my peak.
Just trying to keep building that. You know, we have a new album coming out that we're working on right now. So that's going to be a big thing that we're working on right now. The sauce. We have probably 12 different recipes. Even though we only have those two that we're releasing next month, it's going to be like small batches every other month. You're going to get a different recipe coming out. And then just keep going on with wrestling, you know. Hopefully get back to Outbreak, see where else we can go from there, man.
Perfect, man. Well, I'm super excited about it. Anything else you want to get out there, you want to talk about, or you want to plug before we wrap this up?
One thing I do want to say is make sure that you get out and vote. It is really, really important. This is a super, super important election, guys. If you go, my work is Terra Vita Holistic Centers. We're a medical marijuana facility. We have a program called Terra Vita Vowed, which is for the victims of the war on drugs. And one of the big things that we're pushing for right now is just register, get yourself out there, and make your voice heard. If you reach out to me, RichSteve17, I can get you all set up with mail-in ballot access, anything like that through the program. So
yeah,
that's my plea right there.
Yeah. Do you think well, before we get at it, we'll open up a can of worms real quick here. do you think we'll see in the next 4 years, let's say the next whoever gets elected, do you think we'll see from either side the legalization of marijuana countrywide?
4 years? Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think we will. Yeah. I would say between 4 and 6 years it'll happen.
Yeah. I know this is a very, very controversial and a hated thing to say, but I'm very pro like legalize everything, and I know that's something that people are like, well, yo, how are you gonna sit there and say about these horrible, horrible, horrible drugs? And I was like, because anything can be horrible, horrible, horrible if done in it comes down to the user. If anything, if you legalize it and you teach people how to properly use them. Like,
of course.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying to go out and get a heroin addict. You know what I mean? Like, but a lot of people wouldn't be taking heroin if these other drugs were available.
That's the thing, too, is it should be about harm reduction. Yeah. Where right now, the way that our drug laws are set up, we're criminalizing addicts.
Yeah.
Which is wrong.
And we're putting people in jail forever for literally exactly. having an addiction.
And it might be like, yeah, they do some really shitty stuff. Like maybe they rob you. They do this. They do that. But the majority of people who are using these are not criminals. They're just trying to get a fix. So if we eliminate that need for people to run out and steal to get it, if they can go to a safe injection site and have somebody give them a sterile needle, shoot them up properly. Yeah, we're not helping their addiction is what people
while
say.
While they're there too, if they do overdose, if they're at that place, they overdose, they're going to go home to their families, you know.
They're going to get right away.
Yeah, or while they're there, they can also seek help to get that help too, because all those people think it's just a big party, those safe injection places. It's not. They'll help you get your fix that night, so you're going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
But they'll also say, hey, you know, we have some places on deck that we can help you get clean, you know?
Exactly. That's what people don't realize. So yeah. I'm with you there. I think it's fine if we legalize all drugs and then we can go from there.
Maybe not legalize, but decriminalize. Like we shouldn't be putting nonviolent people in prison.
Yeah, exactly. But for what you were saying with the marijuana, I think that it's going to be a big point for Republicans going forward is they're going to see how far left a lot of people are, you know, socially on that issue. And they're going to say, we have to get in on this. Like yeah. even the Pennsylvania legislator, where so many of the Republicans said no for the Act 16, which was the medicinal, even now they're starting to come around and say, we got to do something here. We can get money for COVID relief. We can get money for the state. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
So once enough states legalize it, the country is going to have to just follow, because the federal government's not going to want the state getting all that revenue.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of CBD. I've been personally taking CBD now for about a year. It's been absolutely fantastic. I'm really high on it. I know for a while there they were talking about possibly making that illegal. I was like, oh my god, please don't. It helps with joint pain. It helps with anxiety. It helps with a lot of good stuff.
It's one thing I always say that to our patients. You know, a lot of them, they just want THC because they think that that's what's going to get you high. And yeah, that's going to give you your psychoactive effects. But the CBD for all of those things that you just listed are what you really need. You need the other cannabinoids to really get that full relief.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can care less about the psychoactive part of it. I just want the herbal part.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. So yeah, definitely check the links below. Like I said, his Instagram is there, the YouTube is there. If you want more information on what he talked about, just hit him up on Instagram. He'll give you all that information. Man, Steve, thanks you so much, man, for reaching out and doing the show. I appreciate it.
Of course, we'll definitely get you on the cast, man. We'll have you come down. We'll have some fun.
Yeah, I'm down. Well, I have a quick question. One more last one here. What was the you said you listened to a couple episodes going into this, which I truly appreciate, because I don't think a lot of people do that when they come on the show. They don't actually watch previous ones to see what they're getting into. It makes for a better conversation. It truly, truly does. But what are some of the episodes or interviews you listen to, out of curiosity?
Let me pull up my phone right now, and I can tell you which ones I have saved.
Curious which ones you listen to.
Let's see, which ones did I listen to here? Ba-ba-bum. So the last one that you did with Heather the other night, the live stream that you were doing, I watched that on
Tornado Tag.
Then let's see, the last one with the rapper that you had on,
Tyrus.
That one was fire. Then Cheesefoot and David Lorenzo, I watched that one as well.
That was a good one. Yeah.
See, there was another one. This one just said interviews with everyday people chat. So don't remember who that one was. But
I think
we're
just talking, yeah.
Just talking. So yeah. Those were the main ones that I checked out, just like the last month or two of stuff. And, dude, I loved it. I couldn't wait to come on.
Awesome.
I loved how you said the name's misleading. Like, you're not going to go and do a deep dive on me. You're not going to get all of this information. Like, we're just having a conversation. Well, so that's
I'm a little sneaky though. Like I get a conversation going and I'll pull some stuff out. I just pull it out through natural conversation. I get you talking, we get comfortable, and then I can kind of find out what I can dig deeper in without offending and stuff. So I mean there is a little bit of an interview element to it, but it is more or less a big conversation.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right,
so,
man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. We'll see you guys next time. Interviews at Everyday People. Here's some Mahantongo. Their links are also below. Go support this band over on their Bandcamp, YouTube, and all that other great stuff. Give them some listens. Good friends of the podcast. And here's their song, Better Now.